Guys, welcome back to Not My Type. This is Jack here. I'm a sexual social 2-wing 3 with 7 and 8 fixes, and I have Jessica and Malia here with me.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I am a self-pressed sexual 6-wing 7 with 9 and 4 fixes.
I'm Malia. I'm a social self-pres 7-wing 6 with 2 and 8 fixes.
And today we're sort of revisiting and re-entering the world of this podcast that we seem to have abandoned for 2 years.
Sorry.
And there's a whole lot behind that, but we're going to jump into that in a minute. First of all, I feel like we need to sort of give people a little rundown of where we've been and what's been going on behind the scenes. Where were we when we left off? Does anyone remember?
Well, last we left off, we were just laymen in the world.
laymen in the world.
Creating content.
Creating content pretty uninformed, but that's okay. We were trying our best. So you guys have heard Jessica on a couple of pods if you've been up to date on whatever we had done last. But Jessica and I met 2.5 years ago. And we were in a Facebook group where people were talking about the Enneagram, and we ended up moving to the same area. And what quickly sort of sparked was not only a great friendship, but also a genuine interest in personality theory that we both already had. And then we started exploring it together, which was super special.
Basically, when we started this podcast, it was really, I mean, I'm the common man. I'm just asking the questions that you all want to know because I'm not the expert here. Really, Jack, you started out as the expert and you had all of this knowledge, and we wanted to create it in a form that people could access it. But then through that process, you started this like you can explain it better. Like, you started this kind of research on trying to see how to type people in a more, I don't know how you say it, like, scientific way, by just typing a lot of people.
Well, it wasn't even like our initial desire. When I met Jessica, we had just had like mutual interests, but she approached the Enneagram with an interest in watching it happening in the friends and family she knew. Is that right? Like, what would you say about
that? Yeah, in real time with real people, seeing all the types show up in physical form.
And when we met, Jessica had already like recorded a bunch of videos of everyone she knew and had a sense of like what these types looked like, or at least what she thought their types were. And she quickly encouraged me to start getting videos of everyone I knew, just so that we could learn how to track and identify what was sort of the evidence of each type. And I didn't really buy it at first, to be honest. I remember like texting her about it quite a bit, and I was like, I'm not even fully sold yet that you could see someone's type on video. But there are a lot of people that I know and love, and so there were suddenly a lot of videos that we started streaming in to each other as we just started collecting more and more and more of every person we could meet, pretty much.
And you were perfect for this because you knew so many people, so much more than me.
And it was really so fun because I am like, I don't know, by nature I'm such a intangible, loosey-goosey, nothing matters, you don't have to prove anything. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like I'm naturally inclined to view the world in a scientific lens. So I think that's why I was skeptical of it. But as we started collecting videos of everyone we knew, we started seeing really consistent patterns of behavior between people of the same type. So that behavior wasn't just about, oh, this is my core fear or this is my core desire. But the behaviors were like extremely nuanced. You know, people of the same type would not only be talking about the same fears or the same issues that they had, but they would also be making the same faces. And some of them would be having the same facial expression or response or like bone structure in the face or in the body, like really fascinatingly consistent patterns of behavior. And over time, we began to accrue more and more videos. And this was, mind you, this started, Jessica had already had some videos, but we started collecting data together what is now 2.5 years ago, almost, because that was end of the summer of 2021. And now it is the second to last day of 2023. So by the time you're hearing this, it's 2024. And we have invested 2.5 years of research and spending pretty much every day of our lives, me and Jessica, texting each other, talking about thinking about it, calling, and basically learning what are the specific behavioral measurements that we need to see in order to identify each type. And so we kind of stumbled into what became a typing business, where we tried to present the Enneagram to other people from a behavioral lens, which was not something that's pretty popular, since most people have a belief that the Enneagram is about your motivation and not your behavior. And we fully don't buy that at this point. I think motivation is totally an important part of someone's Enneagram type, but the way we express what we feel, or the things I express as my fears or my desires, those things aren't the best indicators of what my type actually is. So,
yeah, your Enneagram type is your personality, and you're not consciously doing your personality. You're not deciding to do your personality. You just are doing it. And that's what we're reading.
Right. And so that sort of like automatic nature of someone's type is what we just learned how to track. And it was super, super fun. And, we pretty much just started offering these services to people on the low, without announcing it here on this podcast, because we wanted to be ready. So now that we're finally ready, we have a website, notmytypeenneagram.com, if you'd like to go check it out, where we have all of our typing services available to you. And so we use the scientific method where Jessica and I separately observe someone's behavior, and we really honed this process of learning to believe, first and foremost, the first principle that I had to believe was A, someone's type is showing all day long, 24/7, no matter what they're doing, where they're doing, whether they're totally awake or sleepy, whether they're drunk or sober, whether they're angry or really happy, it didn't really matter. Someone's type was going to show up over and over and over, not only in their language, but also in their body language and in their faces and in the things they weren't saying and the things they felt obligated to do, all of that.
Yeah, there were a few ways that we honed this process better. One of the ways was to just come up with more consistent questions that we would ask the same questions for every person, and making sure that they were deep questions without being uncomfortable for the interviewee so they would be able to answer them. Other ways of like just tracking, making sure our lighting was better, getting better cameras for our phones, like that kind of thing, to like really be able to detail all of the changes and behaviors that we were seeing.
So something I hear a lot from the common man, of which I am, is that, like, how can you tell someone's type all the time? Like, what if they're unhealthy in that season? Doesn't it change? Like, I feel like there's a lot of misnomers that type changes throughout your life. Like, you can grow out of a type or you can grow into a type if you're healthy or unhealthy, if you're tired or not tired. So, like, how would you respond to someone who says that?
That's a great question. And to be honest with you, I think people see, people are sort of the belief, well, anyone could do X behavior. So how do you know? How could you prove that someone's type? Well, that's true. I think anyone can do anything. But not everyone can do the same consistent set of behavior for 15 minutes or for 10 minutes even. And so this is really important. Like, for example, someone who is a 4 is not going to be smiling for 20 minutes straight, no matter what the context is. And even if they tried to force themselves to do it, to fake it, their language would reveal their actual type, or their body language reveal their actual type. Yeah.
And we actually found this. It's like the 6-minute mark.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Where like you really start to see a person starts to loosen up and like they begin like just relaxing into themselves.
Mm. And the thing we really found is that, each type, each of the 9 types, is sort of speaking its own language. So I think people are often wondering, like, well, my behavior changed. When I was 13, I behaved this way. When I was 20, I behaved this way. And now I'm 40 or whatever. How do you know that I'm the same type when I was different then as I am now? And I kind of see it as a language, really. Like, so you might be speaking early in life letters A through D, and then later in life you're speaking letters W through Z. And you might be having different behaviors, but you're still speaking the same language, the same general code. And this is what we found throughout all of the interviews we did, is that people who were of the same core type, so let's say, for example, 7-wing 6s, like they would all have very similar patterns of language, first and foremost, talking over the same issues of fear and security and not wanting to be controlled and wanting to have options and emphasizing breadth and discovery. Like these were things that would show up in their language without fail.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of it, there was also consistent speed of speech, how quickly they were talking, and also consistently how much eye movement they had. And so even though, sure, our behaviors change over time, like your eye movement isn't something you're consciously thinking about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There are automatic, very subtle, nonverbal behaviors that we learned how to identify and track over and over and over through what has now become about 1,200 interviews. So we've collected 1,200 people that we've typed and used them as a reference. So this is really important, is that we're never typing someone, we're never typing our client without having a baseline understanding of what we're going to compare it to.
Yeah.
And so, of course, we make errors in our data and we've made errors in our typings, but we're going back over and over and over as we continually grow our data set to find, oh, okay, these people don't actually fit in the same slot. So what might I have mistaken as a different type?
The errors, even though they probably happen, are more easily caught because you have other people to kind of compare them to, and you say, well, this is an error, not just the way they are, because it doesn't fit. I think another thing that's really interesting about hearing you guys do this, because I don't personally do the typing or anything, but hearing you guys process through that, one of the movements I've seen is kind of coming away from, like, the Enneagram generally is seen as, like, the 9 stereotypes, and going into, actually, like, there are very vastly different 7s. There are vastly different 2s. Like, as you started kind of getting an idea of all of these different people, something, and maybe you can speak more to this, is, like, you discovered that there are differences among the specific types, and you could tell the difference between 2 7-7s who had different wings, or 2 7-wing 6s that had different fixes, or whatever.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that even though there is a baseline consistent set of behavior between the types that give away someone's core type, you know, we have different fixes and we have different instincts that we also track that our clients are usually interested in knowing, because mm-hmm. that adds a lot of nuance. And so we don't believe there's just 9 basic types, even though we think everyone has a core type. We also have fixations in the other 2 centers of intelligence. Mm-hmm. And we also have instinctual variants that direct our attention and show us what we think is important or what we're obligated to.
I think this is why, you know, we've changed a lot about the way we do things here, or the podcast, or various things. But the one thing that I think we would still hold very true is, don't rely on a test to tell you what you are. Because I can't tell you how many people I talk with and they're like, well, I'm, you know, so-and-so is a 4 because they're unique, or something like that. You know, it's like you just take one stereotype and you just say that this person is that because they are artistic, or they are creative, or they are sad all the time, or they're happy all the time, or whatever. It's like, people are very nuanced. And the cool thing about what you guys do with the typing service is that you're able to see all of these nuances, because you've talked with 1200 people. You're able to see all these nuances and say, like, oh, this person is that type, not because of the general broad stroke, but because of all of these tiny nuanced details that are all lining up to equal this type.
Yeah, the 1200 people at this point have become, like, I appreciate this as a 6, have become like its own thing outside of me and Jack, by which we can check our own opinions. It's mm-hmm. kind of like a third party that is completely neutral, and it's just like, hey, if we get someone, we're typing them, they should look like they're type twins. And right. out of 7,776 possibilities, when they look like they're type twins, it means that we're hitting something.
Right.
And this happened just the other day. Like, Jess and I were texting each other. I was up in Maine visiting a friend. And so we were going through a video that we had gotten from a client, and we were finding ourselves really stumped. You know, we're seeing the same general areas, we're seeing the same general numbers, but we were disagreeing on the core type. And what we found, at least for me, what really confirmed it was when I went and looked at the data set and tried to triangulate, okay, we're trying on either this specific combo, 379, or 279, or 739, whatever. We're trying on these different potential tries in different orders. When we checked the data, there was a really consistent, resounding yes. When you find someone with the same type setup, and then you click on their video, and they're making the same facial expressions, they're having the same tone of voice, they're having the same language patterns.
I know, it feels so good.
It does feel so good. Yeah. And it's also a little bit frightening. How consistent it is. And this is really what it comes down to, is that even though there's not just 9 types, we, our system, when you combine the 6 potential instinctual stackings, and then everyone has 3 fixes, you know, and those can come in different orders, this maths out to be, like Jessica said, 7,776 different potential type combinations. Wow. And so even though there are not just 9 types, there are 7,000. And when you and someone else have the exact same slot out of over 7,000 types, you're going to have extremely consistent behavior. And that's what we found over and over and over.
And if you're not, we're doing it wrong. We've mistyped you. Uh-huh. And we can check that.
Right. And that does happen. And so that's the beauty of what we're doing, is that we're trying to approach it with humility and understand that, like, as we keep typing people, it's already been 2.5 years, but as we keep going, I think our process will get better and better and better, because our data set is growing and our references are growing. We have new points off of which we can triangulate and check our current client.
Right. And this is what I feel like is what isn't out there yet. Everyone's using theory, and they might be using a bit of celebrities, and they're just sitting at home, like, trying to apply theory to these people in these videos. But we have gone out there, we have collected real people, a large mass of real people to really triangulate from. And it's something that I don't see done anywhere else.
And I think that's really what it comes down to, is that there are other people who have offered services similar to this, but they haven't ever kept their data. They haven't kept their data and triangulated every single time there's a new client. They haven't gone back to reference what they already know. And of course, I'm sure some people would disagree with that, but no one has publicized that or declared that as part of their typing service. And so that's what we're doing, because that's we're trying to publicly make clear to our clients or potential clients that that's how we type you, is not only by measuring your behavior, but then referencing the knowledge base we've built over the past several years.
Mm-hmm. Which is so much bigger, too, because not all... There are definitely... The whole typology community attracts certain types, certain subtypes, but we've gone out and gotten, like, friends of family and distant family members and neighbors and just people who would never, ever ask for this, and we have to be like, hey, we're just doing an interview for, like, a project, but you do it, and, like... But, like, and you get some really obscure types that way of people who would never be interested. So it's just better for the data.
And you really do. Like, that's the, there are people I interviewed in Washington Square Park. You know, I'm saying strangers I met when I'm just going places and doing things, because I'm always going places and doing things. That's part of my life. But the beauty of that is that as you sort of get to know more specific subcultures, you see really interesting and fascinating patterns in type. It's really, and I think our type is not only just a byproduct of our environment that we grew up in, but also like our genetic code. You know, I think there are really fascinating specific patterns. Like, let's just give a tiny example. So twoing one and twoing three, they're both type two. But we found really consistently different facial responses that they have. So Malia and I both have a twoing three fix. Mine's primary, hers is secondary, but we both have very similar facial responses when we first meet people. Twoing three has this sort of very eager, excited face, but also the eyebrows sort puppy of go eyebrows. Up and together. Like, think about the face that someone makes when they go, aw, you know, their eyebrows go together and lift up a little bit. And that's something we've specifically noticed for twoing three fixers, is that there's just this like, oh, you're so adorable face. It's very eager. And twoing three has this, I'm going to eat you face. I love you so much. And Malia and I both have that. And all twoing three fixers, we've noticed, have this consistent pattern in their behavior. Whereas twoing one does not make that face. It very rarely. The face is so different. It's much tighter and more serious. And we notice people with twoing one fixes have like thinner lips, thinner mouths. And often their bone structure is like more narrow and gaunt.
It's almost like more critical with that one wing.
Right. But it's actually like in their actual face, which is crazy. Their skeleton is showing the type.
Which is crazy because like you guys didn't set out to find that. And that's what science is, right? It's like you set out to look for results or consistent patterns, and then you find something as obscure as like this type structure all have thin lips. Like, no one would have ever guessed that. Never. That's so weird.
In the beginning, it was just like, gotta catch them all. But then we noticed patterns, and that was cool.
Which is, I mean, how that works. Right. So, let's say, like, clearly you guys have a lot more to say now, right? With this, with coming back to the podcast, you found, like, a lot of really interesting details like that. But you're also describing this, like, typing service. So, I'm just, like, a random listener out there, like, how do I get this? What does that look like for me to get a type? Like, how does that all work?
Right. So on our site, we have a couple different potential typing services available to you. We have one product that is our most popular by far. Probably 95% of our clients get it, which is a full typing and commentary. So basically what we would give you is a full breakdown of your type. So like for Malia, for example, I would be getting her social self-pres 7-wing-6 as her primary type, and then 2-wing-3 secondarily, and then 8-wing-9 tertiarily. And so those are all the pieces of her type structure. And then for the commentary, which is mostly what people are buying our product for, they want to see us break down their type. So we actually have a little sample commentary on the site under this specific product, the full typing and commentary, where you can see me go through Malia's video, where I took a little video of her and then I break down what her face is doing, what her language is doing, where are we seeing this specific pattern of behavior that identifies not only 7-core, but why are we doing 2-second as opposed to 8-second? You know, those are really subtle nuances, but when you have thousands of data points, you can see the difference between someone who's 7-8-2 and someone who's 7-2-8. Actually, we were even talking about that today.
Yes, because my daughter is 7-8-2 and Malia is 7-2-8. And it's surprising what we found when someone has the gut center second, how it creates like a kind of boundary. And so despite her being double assertive first, she is actually a little bit more walled off than you feel.
Interesting.
Because the boundary is about this is my space, this is your space, like, and the containment. And she's also self-pres first. But like, even that, it's very big. Flipping one of these numbers, a last wing difference on the last fix makes a huge difference. And it's really fascinating seeing that.
And it's something, again, like Malia said, we didn't really anticipate stumbling into this, but here we are. And to be honest with you, it's my dream. It's my real dream to do this for my life. I want to teach people how to type. I want to see people grow and learn a new way of viewing the Enneagram. And so even when we started this, a lot of our thoughts about like type as neurosis were coming from Claudio Naranjo's ideas. And I don't think that's null and void. I don't think it's a bad idea. But I think I'm realizing more and more as we encounter new data points, like someone's type isn't just a neurosis. It's not something that needs to be killed. And I think when we started this podcast, I viewed the Enneagram that way. But I'm realizing more and more neurosis is a natural byproduct of someone's type structure when shit starts going really wrong and they don't know how to cope. And so I think knowing someone's type can allow you to have grace for them when things go poorly, but it also allows you to see the beautiful parts of them. And I think this is like, this is sort of the philosophy behind Not My Type as a title. It's something that Malia threw out there. And I think it's so relevant and so true today is that like, we're typing people, but our goal is not to have you identify with your type and get trapped in the patterns of it, but rather to help you see, okay, this is something that's happening. It's just happening. It's a fact. And that's really what we believe. Like, I believe that someone's type structure is as real as their blood type. It's not just an idea. It's an actual fact. And to measure it is to identify this is something that's happening. It's part of your code, your genetic code and your behavioral code through your experiences and your environment. All that to say, measuring those things is really like, I think, a way for us to see our own patterns without judgment and just invite some disidentification with the things that we think are us and allow us to sort of find new ways of dealing with our natural inclinations, but forming new, healthier behaviors.
This goes back to your question that I don't really feel like was answered, which is the, do I become, there's a lot of confusion over what the lines mean in the Enneagram. And the question is, do I become like another type when I'm unhealthy or when I'm healthy? Like, oh, I'm just showing up like this because I'm in a bad place. And that's not what we found. Unhealthy sixes look like unhealthy sixes. They don't look like threes or nines. Unhealthy fours just look like unhealthy fours. Healthy fours look like healthy fours. Like it's still, the behaviors are still there. It's just, they're on their own path. They're on their own track of health and unhealth.
Right. And as a two myself, as a simple example, like we've typed some twos that I really admire and we've typed some twos I really don't. But all of us with a three wing, the two wing threes are making the same
eyebrows.
Right. The same puppy dog eyes, that same awe face, whether it's being used to genuinely see and witness someone or being used to manipulate and coerce them into something that would please the two. So like, even though people can change their behaviors in the sense of like, what's my intent? What actions am I taking? Sure, we learn to change those behaviors, but we're still inclined to make the same faces. We're still inclined to speak the same speed. So for example, like I've heard a lot of people say that they often put podcasts on like 2x speed, but they can't do that with this podcast because I talk so fast. And this is another specific example, which is that we've noticed people who have the head center as their primary or secondary fix, who are also blind to the self-preservation instinct. This is a very specific combination. If your head is first or second and you're blind to self-pres, there's just basically no gate holding your energy inward. And there's also this electric zappy current in the head center running throughout someone's speech. And so there's just this increasing acceleration of speed in speech. And that's like a consistent pattern we found. It doesn't apply to people who are head last and self-pres blind. It doesn't apply there. And it doesn't apply to people who are head first or second but aren't self-pres blind. But when you combine these specific factors, we find really consistent patterns of behavior.
And I think there's something kind of freeing about being like, I'm going to be a seven forever. I'm not going to be able to excel and kill the seven in me and like become some other type in the best version of that other type. It's like, I am a seven. I'm always going to be a seven. I don't have to like live and gripe and identify as like the worst parts of a seven. But knowing that that is going to be a struggle for me forever is actually really freeing because I can then address those, you know, quote unquote demons of mine that I have to face every day, like organizing or like generally, you know, limiting myself, things like that. It's like, I can know every day that I'm going to get a little bit better at that because I'm going to try a little bit each day to do that because I'm going to face that every day versus, oh, just hoping and praying and wishing and like hurting, you know, like judging myself until I become another type.
Right. Oh, I wish I didn't suck this way.
Right. Well, it's like, well, that's not really helpful. So basically, if you learn that you're always going to have a limp, you're able to identify and live with it in a better way, in a healthier way, I think, and even like take care of your limp in a better way than if you were like, wow, I just wish I didn't have this limp, you know? And we all have a limp of some sort, whether it's a 7 or whether it's being 2 or a 6 or whatever, like we all have that. And that's also kind of unifying among everyone. It's like, hey, well, we all have some sort of tragic flaw. That's better than being like, wow, this person really excelled. They became another type and they are right. Awesome and I suck. I'm the only one who sucks.
Right. I do want to point out that your perspective on this is very much from your type. Heavy positive reframing leading to 7-2.
Yay!
Hey, it's okay. And I don't want to be my type.
Right.
But I'm also like the droopy flower of 6-9-4 and being like, no.
Right.
And I think this is the beauty of it, really, that like we're just going to have the code we're going to have. And that doesn't mean we can't learn and grow, but we just got to own it and say, okay, these are the cards I was dealt. And you don't necessarily need to know why.
It's so powerful. Choice.
So powerful. You know? And I think that's my hope, is that like not my type would really be about not my type. That like your type wouldn't be a mantle you have to carry with like shame or even like pride or egoism, but rather just an ownership of like, this is the hand I was dealt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me see, are there any cards that are hidden in here that I thought I didn't have?
Yeah.
You know? Or what are the things that I accidentally forfeited that I have the right to pick back up and take into my own agency and make choices that I think are beautiful and wonderful? Mm-hmm.
So this commentary, you go on the website, you go to
NotMyTypeEnneagram.com, and our primary typing service, like we said, is the full typing and commentary. There we have other services too. If you're just interested in your core type and weighing, or you just want to know your instinct stacking, those things are available to you too. They're a little bit cheaper. But the full typing and commentary is really the full code of your type and then a full breakdown where we go throughout your video and for 30 minutes we sort of assess, okay, what are we seeing here? What are we seeing there? Why is this the theme throughout your language over and over and over? For example, a body type is going to consistently talk about boundary issues. Even if they're not using that word, they're going to talk about the issues of being disrupted or feeling like their autonomy is being taken and how they want to protect that, all these things. So we look at these patterns and we'll break it down for you why we're leaning this way for your type, why we're seeing this specific energy over and over and over, a blurriness or an alertness or a positivity or a smile or a frown or a disgust response, like all of these things that we see, we're going to point them out to you and basically expose your type in a way that we hope is helpful, not harsh. And it's really, I think, a valuable prize that a lot of people have enjoyed. We have a reviews page on our site, which you can look at too, to see what our clients have said about our services and what they like about it.
So what happens to a video once I send it in to you guys?
That's a great thing to ask. Great question. So we store our videos for reference, but you're welcome to take it down whenever you want. We have an option on our typing submission form where you can basically say, yes, I give permission to not my type for them to use my video for any teaching purposes they like. Or you're welcome to not check that box and we'll keep it private. And it will only be up on your YouTube channel as long as you want.
Like an unlisted link.
Yeah, an unlisted link. We only accept unlisted links, but you'll see that on the site. Anyways,
be shared.
Yeah, we don't share videos for teaching purposes unless you give us that permission. That's something that we keep privately to honor your boundaries.
How much is the typing service?
That's a great question. So currently it's priced at $150. We have kept it at that rate for a while. It is too low, unfortunately.
Yeah, these things take hours to make.
Right, we commit literally hours of our life to like not only
multiple views, multiple notes.
Right, and then we take a lot of time to discuss with each other. If there's any disagreement, we try and figure out, okay, why might we have disagreed? Where might we have gotten lost? And then we go back and review the data. We check other videos, see, okay, what specific patterns of behavior am I seeing in this new client that I've seen in past clients? All of this is part of our process, and so it does take several hours, and it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it, but if we want to survive and live and actually keep up with the competition we have, who provides slightly worse products, but that's a different topic. If we want to do this, we're going to have to raise our prices. So we're planning at the beginning of March of 2024 to raise the price of this commentary service to $180 from $150. So if you want to get it at a lower rate, we're charging $150 till the end of February. You can also join our Facebook group where we get to talk about typology stuff. And for our officially typed members of this group, they can post their typing results.
You can also order now and submit your video link later if you haven't made one yet, but you want to get in before it goes up to $180.
And the prices on our other products will also be going up. They're cheaper, so the increase in price won't be as much, but they will be going up too. You can sort of see on the website right now the current sale price and the price that they'll be returning to beginning of March. So also as a little simple hint, we have a Facebook group called Not My Type. There's a link to it on our site, but It's also very searchable if you just search Not My Type Enneagram on Facebook, where we get to talk about the Enneagram and view it through a scientific lens. But basically, our officially typed members then get to sort of post their typing results sheet, and we get to build a little community of people who have subscribed basically to our position on the Enneagram, or those who haven't and just want to have a conversation about it. But in general, if you want to go join that group, please do. It's a really fun place where you can leave little comments or make little posts that you think are funny or interesting. And there also might just be a discount code cropping up in there at some point. So it's probably worth checking out if you want to join. And additionally, another note I forgot. At the beginning of September, I started making TikToks about the Enneagram. So you can search. I think my page name is Jack Hauser, right? I'm assuming.
That's so...
I really should know this.
So but... not, like, branded at all.
You can also search, like, behavioral Enneagram typing because you're supposed to have some sort of relevant title. I don't know what it is. My page is Jack Hauser, at Jack Hauser on TikTok. But basically, I talk about what we do at Not My Type and sort of contradict some broadly assumed Enneagram beliefs and upset teenagers.
Fear stacking.
Yes. All of that. Yes. Very sexual, social. Lots of provocation of the people. But you got to do what you got to do. So if you want to go see our videos on TikTok, where I make a lot of stupid memes, but also videos that are informational that... people like. So.
Oh, yes. The memes are very relevant. If you want to see some memes, also, you can look at our Instagram page at Not My Type Enneagram.
Yeah, that's right.
And there are lots of memes on there. You can see a hard shift that we made.
Yes, a hard shift.
From branded content to just memes. Give the people what they want.
Right. There was really no purpose in posting our podcast things. Well, we'll post it on our story or whatnot, but like at the end of the day, if you want to follow our stuff. TikTok is a good place to see it, as well as Instagram. We don't post as often there anymore because I can't afford to spend that many hours of my life managing so many social media platforms. So primarily I'm on TikTok. We'll post from Instagram from time to time as well. But ultimately, to be honest with you, I think our Facebook group is the most exciting and interesting for now because that's for people who are interested in this sort of content and want to talk about it.
So we don't want to give away too many of our cards right now or get into all the juicy details of all the things you've been learning. So I think we will end it here. And then be sure to tune in next time to all of our juicy details.
So juicy.
Thanks for listening to Not My Type. We have a lot of wonderful, loyal listeners and clients and people who really love us because they're so sweet to us. And we thank you for being part of our little team. And I hope that you follow along to see where this goes. It's going to be interesting. Our real dream ultimately is about shifting the Enneagram into a scientific lens now. It wasn't 3 years ago when we started this, but now it is because what we stumbled into, it's been so beautiful, so fun, so mind-blowing. We have so many exciting insights about specific type combinations that we can't wait to share. So we hope that you'll be on our team and on our side.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.